This is Ramsey Radio, the farming and farm machinery podcast from Ramsey Brothers, partnering farmers since 1950.
Welcome to another edition of Ramsey Radio. I'm your host, Tim Glover, and today I'm joined by a major Australian machinery importer, Cameron McIntosh from McIntosh Distribution in WA, to talk about the global supply issues that have beset ag producers, processors, and support industries alike. Cam, welcome to Ramsey Radio.
Thanks, Tim. Great to be here. And thanks for inviting me along.
I guess, you know, the discussion we're going to have is just to get a little bit of an idea about maybe some of the forces that are obviously well outside of our control, but just to throw it on the table is going to be a good thing. So appreciate you being on, mate.
No, great, Tim. Yeah, and like you said, it is something that's it's probably a new factor in all of our businesses at the moment that, you know, in the past you've always dealt with, but it probably hasn't been as consuming as your time as it is now. You know, I'm guessing it is, you probably do refer it back to the pandemic and that's creating, and I think that's probably the start of what has created a lot of the issues that have just flown through that time. And, you know, I probably yet to refer to it as chaotic, but it is definitely creating a lot of major issues, and not just for ourselves. I think no matter what industry you're in, it is creating a lot of issues for all of them. You only have to listen to enough news now, and you know they're talking about Christmas gifts and things like that being delayed into Australia. And I've got to be perfectly honest, on same as you, we don't seem to worry. I don't worry about that as much, but probably concentrating on getting our own equipment in and you know, fulfilling our obligations there are pretty important to us all.
And Cam, I guess from the machinery distribution perspective, just give our listeners a bit of an idea of you know, where you are, where you've come from, and what you're up to.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. I look after our wholesale division, which was established in 1992. The company's called McIntosh Distribution. And so we're the Australian distributors for products like Morris, Miller, IHSD Weeds, the Seed Destructor, Weed Seeker, from a product from Trimble. And we also look after Western South Australia for the Ligong loaders that we import from China. And obviously the issues we're talking about here today is supply of product and logistics and shipping is something that we're very involved in. McIntosh Distribution sells to not only just the McIntosh and some branches, but obviously we sell to around 70 retail outlets throughout Australia, and we have parts depots in Queensland, New South Wales, South Australia and Western Australia to service that. And obviously your company, Ramsey Brothers, has been one of our longest serving customers. We started dealing in the mid-90s with the company then, so I've enjoyed a great relationship over those times with the products.
I think it's important, Cam, before we continue, you know, talking about some of these supply issues or constraints, we're not just talking clearly about McIntosh brands. So, you know, all the major manufacturers and niche manufacturers are all experiencing the same issues. You know, one of the things we've seen of recent times in some of our global supply plants or source plants is issues with some industrial action and also plants shutting down and just not having capacity because of componentry issues. What's your take on some of that?
Yeah, it's. I think this whole issue we're dealing with is, you know, I mean, it's two facets of it. You've got the component supplier or equipment supplier chain out of certain plants, and there's another aspect to that at the moment, which is the whole logistics or the shipping side of things, and that, you know, that can go right down from containerized vessels to what we call refer to as ro-ro vessels, and the ro-ro vessels, which I'll probably refer to them at some stage today, is more for the equipment that is what we call roll on, roll off, so drop anything that's driven on and off a ship. You've got those constraints, and right again, also down to even simple things such as air freight, and you know probably the air freight was probably a thing that we've been dealing with for the longest time, Tim, in the fact that probably early days of COVID, obviously once the passenger jet started not coming to Australia. And I think people aren't aware of actually how much we rely on those passenger jets to actually bring in freight or air freight into the country. And give the listeners an idea. You know, we can traditionally in the past probably air freight something from central US or central Canada. We can get it into Australia within sort of 4 to 5 working days. It's starting to improve now, but probably around this time last year, we're talking a 2 to 3 week period for a simple air freight. And the thing is, not only did it the times take longer, it's pretty simple supply and demand. The space wasn't available in the planes, and you know, the costs skyrocketed as well. So not only weren't getting as good a service, you're paying up to twice as much for that poorer service. So where we utilise the air freight a lot and probably been using it as a mechanism is components that'll go through a plant that are put into containerised and reassembled in Australia. Traditionally, you're seeding and tillage equipment is that type of thing. You know, at the end of or the time of shipping, if there's certain components that you are missing, it's a lot easier for us to freight what you have got and utilise air freight for those components to catch the freight up. So if your container is on the water or in transit for 10 or 11 weeks, then you've got that sort of 10 or 11 weeks to get the components into the plant, packaged up and get them here so they're waiting here from the components. So you just don't have that same flexibility with your RORO equipment.
Yeah, and I think it's clear that there doesn't seem to be an identifiable choke point. It's like the perfect storm across the board, across the globe.
Yeah, exactly, Tim. And it changes daily. There's at the moment, there is always something that is popping up that you pretty can't foresee or you haven't been able to foresee. Give me an example. Probably in May, June of last year, so, you know, May, June 2020, none of us had an idea how long this whole thing was going to last, but you probably started planning pretty strongly at that stage to make sure that, you know, you brought all you're ordering forward, i.e. to bring your production forward to ensure that you didn't have the issues. And I think a lot of companies probably got through it last year a lot easier than they're finding this year, because what tended to happen there is that, you know, demands were down a little bit in a lot of areas, so you were able to the plants were able to draw on the suppliers and the stock that their suppliers had worldwide. What's happened since then is we're not a unique company. Everyone else is looking at it and trying to bring forward their requirements. It might be bring it forward 4 to 5 months. Normally, spare parts, accessories, and items like that. If every company in the world is sort of increasing that, it's sort of increasing their demand by 30% to 40%. Hence, you got the supply issues with the plant. So it's actually, because it's a bit like the toilet paper. If everyone's panicking and buying their parts to make sure that they're not letting their customers down, well, you know, you soon get a shortage on the shelves, and then it creates a bigger demand, because you're then looking further out and making sure you've got those components. So there's a lot of that. At first, we probably found the earlier componentry was short. There was traditionally steel and electronics. Electronics are still got some major issues there worldwide. Certain componentry of that. It's now sort of drifting into hydraulic components worldwide, and probably in the last month we're starting to see some real pressures on tyres and even alloy as well. Yeah, so they're the component. It does change a lot. Go back to that sort of May of last year, discussions we had with a lot of our suppliers there, and traditionally they were saying to us that, you know, something that would normally be a 30-day lead time is sort of blowing out to those guys, 3 months. Components that they normally plan on a 3-month lead time is now sitting at 9 months. And there's a lot of goods now we're sitting are still in that sort of 9 to 12 month range. You know, it's not a scare tactic. It's been used, unfortunately in the past, in a lot of industries is scare people in the demands, or the suppliers light and make a decision. I think everyone understands now it is a legitimate issue, and having a good good honest discussion about where things are at, when you can get hold of product is I think making a lot more people aware of what it is, and even being aware of, you know, certain specs. You know, if there's a certain tire size that is difficult to get, but there's a different one that's very similar that is easy to source, then having that communication about, you know, changing to this tire, you know, to bring things forward, you can have those discussions, which is pretty important.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, having that forward order mentality has been critical, but I think it's paramount now. You're listening to Ramsay Radio, and we're talking with machinery importer and distributor Cam McIntosh about the incredible global supply chain problems that began with the pandemic and seem to have spun out of control. We're going to take a short break. And when we get back, we'll talk to Cam about two other things that are pretty important in this whole discussion. One is the shipping side of the problem, and the other one is some of the global price pressures. We'll be back with you shortly.
Farmall. Since 1923, the most iconic and admired name in the farming world. If you're in the market for a utility tractor, there has never been a better time to turn to Case IH and Farmall. With models ranging from 25 horsepower through to 115, Case IH has a model to fit your need. Call Ramsay Brothers now to uncover the sensational value on our drive-away Farmall deals. With tailored finance packages to approved applicants and great deals on front-end loaders, your time is now. But be quick, as stock is limited. Ramsay Brothers, partnering farmers since 1950.
Welcome back to our Ramsay Radio podcast about the impact of global supply issues on Australian ag. Cam McIntosh, most challenges come down to time and money. We've talked about time delays and some of the constraints that source plants are facing. We'll tackle the money, but before we do, talk to us about what is going on in the world of shipping.
Yeah, Tim, it's you know, we've obviously spoken earlier about the supply and into components into the plants and getting it out of that. And like I touched on, it's two major facets at the moment. We work pretty hard to get the equipment out of the plant, but the game starts as soon as we get it ready to ship. And like I said earlier on, you know, we're predominantly using, you know, three methods of freight: containerization, road ray, or to an extent air freight. And the containerization or the supply or the ability to get ships has been a major issue. It's probably got a lot worse in the last 6 months. Last year, during the early stages of COVID or the pandemic, we found our shipping was relatively reliable. This past there, and I think it's probably on the facet that most of the companies now worldwide are all returning back. The plants are all opening. North America, Europe, and all those other countries are opening up for business, and that demand is huge on containerization. A lot of the companies or the shipping companies, they do play with demand a fair bit, and they have the ability to take vessels out of their schedule, and they do manipulate the demand side. I think the way it is coming on, and like I touched base earlier, with every company sort of increasing their shipping just to ensure that they're ahead of their time that they need, has created some major issues. We're seeing a lot of port congestion. That's created a lot of havoc and pretty well your transshipment points. So the equipment that we bring into Fremantle, we transship either East Coast through Melbourne or also through Singapore. And I'll give you an idea. Traditionally, Singapore, we will have a container will take 3 to 4 days, maybe 5 days to get through the Singapore. We're sitting at close to a 3-week transit time just in Singapore alone now. So, you know, you just add that and things there. But what we've found probably in the last fortnight, a lot of the shipping companies are just not taking bookings at all. They're trying to get some reliability back in their shipping schedule, which sounds great that they get the reliability, but just very difficult to get space on these vessels. So, and like we talked about earlier, so supply and demand, the demand for the bookings is huge. Supply is low. So really the discussions with your shipping agents isn't about quotes and what you can get a container for. It's is can you get space on the vessel? And that's probably the number one factor we deal with at the moment. The Ro-Ro vessels, again, they're traditionally a lot more reliable than the containerization, but we had a strike in Fremantle that was one of the wharfs there that handled all the Ro-Ro vessels. They had a strike that lasted, I think it was 75, 76 days. So that just created a lot of uncertainty shipping to Australia. Companies were missing Fremantle and doing things there. So
that's like, sorry to interrupt you, Cam. It's, you know, talk about adding injury to insult when, you know, the boats do arrive into Australian waters and can't unload. I mean, it's just unheard of.
Actually, one of our vessels actually pulled up at the wharf. So they're obviously tied up on the wharf but never unloaded. After a period of time of realising that nothing was going to happen, they dropped the ropes and headed to Melbourne. So, yeah, it is very frustrating. Luckily, in that side, it is back back, and it's actually it has been good for the last two to three weeks. But you know, again, we're hearing a lot of reports now of industrial action starting to happen in a lot of the other wharfs around Australia, predominantly on the container side of things. So I think it's something we're going to be dealing with.
The other thing I wanted to touch on very quickly before we get onto the real super sensitive one, you know, obviously we have a number of manufacturers in Australia. So it's also having a dramatic effect on our Australian manufacturers as well and their ability to finish machines.
Exactly, Tim. I think the whole thing of this is a worldwide issue and you know, everyone sources it. We've got a division that we do a fair bit of manufacturing in as well. And, you know, steel's been a supply issue, tracking okay now, but any of the electronics components you bring in always, you know, seem to be having the same issues. So, yeah, it's no one's immune to it. It's there, but, you know, and I think the key thing is just working on it. And, you know, like I said earlier, we'd all much prefer to be dealing on other things, but at the end of the day, we've got a responsibility to our end users, our dealerships that we supply to ensure that we do whatever we can to get it here as quickly as we can and you know, as complete as possible. It's you know, it's the part of the job that you need to do.
Cam, we're seeing huge price pressures across the board. There's no doubt that there's been massive increases in shipping costs to get product to Australia, which by turn is going to drive up retail costs. Is it just a supply and demand thing we're seeing, or are there genuine cost increases happening along the supply chain?
Oh, I think a combination of everything, Tim. We've got a responsibility to make sure the equipment gets here, and we're not in the position at the moment, unfortunately, to negotiate our freight rates. It's about getting supply. It's about getting the containers. It's about getting the bookings. It's about getting equipment here in time. And with regards to the supplies, I think there's definitely there's such a demand pool. Like I said earlier, everyone is increasing their orders and their ensuring that they've got supply to cover them longer than they normally do. But I also think one of the things we're seeing, and probably what I'm anticipating the next round of price rises, which, you know, is unfortunately not far away from us, is it's the suppliers and the plants not aware of when this is going to become an easier fix for them or things going to ease up. And I think there's a lot of fear. Most of the plants have probably taken a hit because they've set some pricing, they've sold equipment, and they've had to pay more for their components. But I think it's that unknown of where it's going to be has probably also creating some of the price pressures. Look, no one likes rising their prices at all. But I think everyone understands that's where things are heading.
It is, that unfortunate side of what's going on. It's all in our faces, and at the end of the day, it is what it is. So, Cam, in your opinion, when can we expect some improvement or relief?
I think I've got more chance of giving you this week's lotto numbers, Tim, to be brutally honest. One of the reasons why we've got a lot of the supply, I mean, issues at the moment is demand is huge for the equipment in Australia at the moment. I mean, New South Wales have now had a strong season last year, looking at a very strong year this year on back of, you know, three poor seasons before. So that demand is back in the cycle that we're in. And like you say, Western Australia is looking very solid. And we're also not only we're seeing that with the seasonal conditions, but, you know, obviously there's government in stimulus that is also still part of the action that is is seeing the demand. I also think the whole supply constraints is also getting a lot of the end users looking forward to their purchasing and maybe bring forward some of their purchasing decisions to ensure that they have got it when they require it. So again, combination of the three or four different things to there. If you ask me, I think we're 18 months away from seeing some real relief. But look, I'm more looking at saying I'm hoping it's 18 months. To me, we're well down the track of sort of finalising our 23 seeding requirements for seeding and tillage equipment. So, you know, that's how far out we're all looking at the moment. But yeah, I'd like to sort of think in 18 months time, we're back to a more normal. We still want the good seasons and the good commodity prices to continue the demand. We don't want that to go away, but hopefully supply and shipping won't be the issue we're talking about today.
Absolutely. Cam, thanks very much for your time and taking your time. It's something everyone's feeling, the supply chain issues. So it's really valuable to get your insights as a major importer and supplier.
Thanks, Tim. It was a pleasure being here. And, you know, hopefully we have given a bit of an insight into what's going on. And, you know, like I said earlier, the best advice I can give everyone is just keep communication lines with their dealerships and their sales guys that they're dealing with, and letting them know what's going on and where they need to be. And I think that's the first start. And look, wish all your listeners a successful and safe harvest. And appreciate your time today, Tim.
Absolutely. And thanks for listening in. If you like what you heard, be sure to rate and share us on your favourite podcast app. Check out all our other episodes as well. I'm Tim Glover, and please do me a favour in these crazy times. Look after your family, look after your friends, and I'll catch you on our next Ramsey Radio edition.
You've been listening to Ramsey Radio, brought to you by Ramsey Brothers. Find this and all our podcasts on your preferred podcast app or on our website at ramseybros.com.au.